A third of Australian households are going hungry, despite millions of tonnes of food going to landfill each year, as a leading charity is calling to change the tax system in support of food relief. Foodbank's annual hunger report has just been released, and it suggests food insecurity has worsened in the last 12 months. Kylie Tenk is the CEO of Foodbank Australia. Hello, Kylie. What are the key takeaways from this year's report?
Yeah, in its 13th year, what the annual hunger report shows us is that, in fact, it's just not getting any better, despite the targeted cost of living relief measures that the federal government tried to introduce last year. What this data shows us is that relief is not translating to more food on Australian tables. You know, one in three Australian households are currently reporting that they're food insecure, and that means that it's not just that they're worrying about not being able to put food on the table, they literally are changing what they buy, they're making compromises in terms of the nutritional value of the food they purchase. They're actually either skipping meals or, in the worst case scenario, they're going whole days without eating at all. So the real concern for us here is that with this data cumulatively now, what we're seeing, this is a systemic, endemic issue that is not getting better. And it's why we're really calling on the federal government to come to the table and work with us to help fix it.
And some households appear to be more vulnerable than others when it comes to food insecurity. What are some of the groups that are experiencing higher levels of, you know, food-related stress and missing meals?
Yes. While the national number is one in three households overall, we know there are a number of groups that are particularly doing it tough at the moment. The first of those is renters. Anybody in a renting situation, what we know of our data is that one in two rental households were reported being food insecure. In addition to renters, you then have 7 out of 10 single parent families had reported that they were food insecure. And as you would imagine, there's a high degree of intersection between single parent families and renters. And then you go to perhaps what was one of the most shocking results for us, and that was that 7 out of 10 households with somebody who's living with a disability or an illness are actually reporting being food insecure. And alarmingly, 3/4 of that cohort are in severe category. So it means 3/4 of those households with somebody who has a disability or an illness are actually skipping meals and not able to feed everybody in their household at particular occasions.
And one thing many Australians will be aware of as we head into the summer months is the risk of bushfires and climate-related disasters. And I understand you're sort of calling for a bit more support there. What would Foodbank like to see in the lead-up to, you know, the emergency weather season that we get every year?
At Foodbank, we'd like to be able to be part of the solution of being more prepared. You know, we have the data now. We're able to map where the high-risk communities are going to be. But the way the current system works is that we're only stood up when crisis hits. Now, that means for an agency like us, we're responsible for providing food and grocery products to 3,000 charities across the country. So we have a pretty huge logistics network as it is that is already pumping food and groceries around the country. When an emergency hits, the only position we have is to actually take from Peter to pay Paul. So we have to pull out of our existing system to redirect it. In the case where we have to buy produce, it means we're buying it at top dollar. What we're asking the government to do is to work with us preemptively to provide us with an immediate cash injection of $5 million so we can go out and secure the products that we know we're going to need this disaster season and actually preemptively ship them in to those at-risk communities so that they're on the ground when the disaster hits rather than leaving us in a situation where we're trying to navigate often impassable roads once the disaster's occurred.
And you're also putting your support around a national food donation tax incentive. Can you explain a little bit about what that could mean for whether it's, you know, producers or supermarkets, and I suppose what the goal of such an incentive would be?
The first point to make is that a national food donation tax incentive is not a radical idea. In fact, this is currently being done in equivalent markets right around the world. And the reason we're advocating for it here is when we talk to those international markets and ask them what are the things that their governments have been able to do to really tip the game, this has come up time and time again. So we're asking the federal government to, in this term, introduce this tax reform, which would fundamentally support small to medium-sized business enterprises. So we're talking about the orchardists, we're talking about the farmers that are trying to grow crops, we're talking about the livestock graziers, we're talking about Australian small-to-business manufacturers that can actually produce products. And when they have an overrun, at the moment for those people, it is cheaper to bury it or send it to the tip because it doesn't incur an additional business cost for them. For them to ship it to us incurs an additional business cost, whether it's as simple as the freight they have to pay. We're asking for the government to provide those sorts of businesses with a tax incentive that would let them claim a small tax deduction at the end of the year to help offset that additional expense.
And I'm reading here that it already exists in some countries overseas. So perhaps are you looking to models like they have in the US as a way that we can maybe implement a similar thing? Or would Australia, I suppose, have some unique challenges or differences we'd have to take into account?
No, we're absolutely asking the Australian government to adopt best class, you know, practice globally. This is not radical. This is something the Australian government can look to other markets to model and to do it securely. You know, I think the two key things that we're being really clear with them about for our calls this time is that this is about small to medium-sized business enterprises. This is about Australian farmers and Australian manufacturers. And to make that clear, we're suggesting they cap the revenue throughput that a business has to be able to access this donation, the donation receipt. And then we're also suggesting they could do is actually cap the total dollar amount that could even be claimed. You know, we saw them in the last term of Parliament try and move instant asset write-off for small businesses at that $25,000 mark. Why not bring that same approach into this area and cap it? Cap it at 25, cap it at 30. We don't have an opinion on where they need to cap it. We just want them to cap it at a level that works for them and to get this done. Because at the moment, you know, as I said, there are literally people who have completely appropriate food, it's edible, it's highly nutritious, but we just can't get it to ourselves because the costs of shipping it are prohibitive. So rather than see it go to a tip, we'd love to be able to bring it into our system so we can pump it out to charities and get it onto people's plates.
And lastly, I noted there are quite a number of stresses that were also being modelled by Food Bank, looking at things housing and other cost of living measures. Do you see that also, I suppose, being a compounding factor when people are looking at, I guess, their weekly budgeting or how they manage food insecurity?
It's always been an underlying issue and we've always captured it, but this year it's really spiked up. This is about people who have had to deal with increased rental rates. You know, it's about people who are struggling to stay on top of their mortgages. And what the data shows us clearly is that people will prioritise their spending. So they prioritise spending on the roof over their head because we all need somewhere to live. They prioritise spending on their utilities because we want to keep the lights on and we want to keep our families warm. But to do those two things, they're compromising on what they buy in terms of food products and they are going without meals. You know, the Australian federal government did try to introduce a number of cost relief measures last year. We thank them for that. But what we're making very clear is those cost of relief measures have not impacted what Australians are able to put on the table at night to feed themselves and their children.